Good day, citizens of the free world. From border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning in to the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple. We're searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies. I'm very pleased today to introduce my guest, Dr. Axel Schumacher, who's the Chief Scientific Officer at Chevome. He's the author of the book, Blockchain Healthcare Strategy Guide. Dr. Schumacher, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The Chevome website, which is Chevome.io, Shivom.io, states that you are creating the world's largest platform for the secure storage and sharing of genomic data. And the platform will provide solutions to a wide range of customers, including consumers, industry, research, governments, and nonprofits. That's a pretty big plan. And so if you can maybe describe a little bit, what is Chevome's goal? What are you trying to do?
Yes. Okay. So you basically mentioned it all. We are aiming at building the largest data hub in the world for healthcare data. So that means that private individuals or enterprises, they can exchange healthcare data for example, research purposes, or for, if you look at the normal user that who's around in the web, basically to manage their own health. This could work, for example, like this. You can come to our website, upload data that belongs to you. This could be genomic data, so your DNA sequence, or data from medical records you can get from hospital or your physician, or any other healthcare-related data. In the future, we also want to support data, for example, that are streamed from medical devices or typical wearables for sports purposes. So there are a lot of different kinds of data that can actually be useful for research purposes or for managing your health. Yeah, the basic idea is that we want to collect all of this data in a secure manner, and then people can, of course, use it, exchange it, and that's the reason we call it like a data hub.
Sure. And so it sounds like it is, I guess there are people, when it launches, and we'll talk about your timeline in a few minutes, but it's a place for individuals to maintain their health history and health record, which also includes their DNA data, correct?
Exactly. So basically everything within this platform has a little bit to do with your genomic data, with your DNA sequence data. The reason is simple. Everything that we analyze in this field, what we call precision medicine, so basically the field of medicine that develops tailored solutions or therapies or how you can stay healthy for a certain individual, all this information interacts in some way or is related to your genomic data. And that's the reason it's so important to have this data available. So a lot of people have their data already, like they got maybe sequenced at one of those genetic direct-to-consumer services like 23andMe or Ancestry.com. There are so many now out there. Mm-hmm. And they can upload this sequence to our platform. Alternatively, if they don't have their own sequence, they can get sequenced with us. So then we would send them a sequencing kit. So basically it's like a spit kit or a swab mm-hmm. kit where you can get a part of your saliva or your cells from your buccal cells. Mm-hmm. And we can sequence them and then upload to the platform and use this data then to basically inform you about your health issues or how you can stay healthy. Or you can order all kinds of reports, for example, the pharmacogenetic reports that tell you what medications or what drugs you should avoid, which your body tolerates, et cetera, et cetera. So there are lots of different things that can be done.
I didn't realize that you actually do the testing. So
Yes.
You can get a kit from you and do it, or you can upload your data file from 23andMe or Ancestry.com, something like that.
Exactly.
And so if a subscriber or a member uploads that information and also has uploaded in some way or documented their medical history, whether it's diabetes or whatever conditions, then that type of data combined with genomic data looks like it'd be very valuable to research organizations and pharmaceutical companies.
It is.
And right now, patients don't receive any of that money. I know the major, like 23andMe and Ancestry.com, license that data, de-identified, but no money certainly goes back to the people who actually provide that data. How do you somebody to not only manage their data, you've kind of explained that a little bit, but to monetize their data? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a very critical point you mentioned here. Classically, obviously, you just said it, companies that have this kind of data, they just sell it. Yeah, they, of course, they may ask users for the consent to use it for research purposes, but that's it. So nothing goes back to the actual data donor. Now, that's people that gave their DNA sequence. And this is really, if you look at it, it's not really fair for a simple reason. Like, just look at the deals that 23andMe did. They got now from a pharma company like $300 million. This is quite a lot of money to look into data. And it would be much better and fairer if at least part of this money would basically directly flow back to the data owner. And this is something that we want to make possible on our platform. So every user has basically the chance to really say what should happen with their data. They could decide to say, look, I don't care about research. I just want to manage my own health. Please do not share my data with others. And that's fine. At the same time, they could say, look, at least I want to share my data with, let's say, my physician or in an emergency with the hospital if I'm hospitalized, so that they can immediately give me the right treatment based on my genomic background. But then, of course, almost everyone has some disease running in their family. It could be diabetes, Alzheimer's, whatever. And those people are often, of course, very interested in supporting research. And it's a very good thing to support research. So I always tell people, look, please, if you can, share your genomic sequence. But to do this, of course, there are two very important things that have to be in place. One is the data privacy. So you don't want that people who are not allowed to look into your data to get access to your data. So the data has to be protected from cyber criminals, even from employees of the data platform, basically from everyone else. And secondly, people should be incentivized to share their data. And this is possible. Let's imagine you would say, look, please share my data with a pharma company for diabetes research. And they, let's say they would pay now, I can't say any amount. Let's say they get access to the database for $1 million. Then we could say, okay, we take this amount and the largest part of it goes back to the data donors of this diabetes database. And this is a process that can automate on the platform. It's called a blockchain technology, where we have implemented, this is smart contract is the term for it. That means sure. These contracts are automatically executed. So basically, if one entity asks for the data, the access to the data, they have to pay a certain amount of money, and this is then automatically transferred to the data owner. And this is the right thing to do. This is the fair thing to do.
Let me ask you some technical questions. The blockchain, are you using a private blockchain? What's the configuration? Is it built on Ethereum? Is it built on some other type of blockchain?
We have in our pipeline several different variations. So in our first version is built on the Ethereum platform blockchain, but our platform is basically modular. That means this is not the only blockchain we can interact with. So long term, we will have a large variety of different blockchain platforms to store data or to exchange data on. The reason is very simple. First of all, technology develops at an incredible pace. So what is now state of the art in the technology is maybe completely outdated in a year from now. That's the reason is so that we want to stay what we call technology agnostic. So our platform will be able to interact with also future solutions. Also, not you know, all blockchains are equal now. So there are some that are easily to use for example, for genomic data, but not for data streamed from medical devices. There you need a completely different technology. And we are looking also in those blockchains and distributed ledger technologies that can deal with this kind of data.
You really hit the nail on the head right there. The use cases for blockchain technology are really, in some ways, ahead of the underlying blockchain functionality. The example I give is Ethereum. The cost of Ethereum transactions and the ability of Ethereum to really scale up has not been solved. It's only being worked on. It may be solved next year or so, but people thought it would be solved last year. And so right now, Ethereum by itself could not handle a large volume of transactions at a reasonable cost. So it's true the technology is evolving so rapidly, you don't want to get mired down in something that's not going to be able to handle a large volume at a reasonable price, no doubt about that. But let's talk about your token a little bit. I would imagine that one issue around genomic data is that some ethnic populations are more represented than others. So anyone doing research certainly would want to get that data from around the world, from different population groups. And if you are using a token, then there's no issues. Global issues around currency conversions or a lot of different local ways of reimbursing people. So was that the purpose?
True.
Is that the main reason
to use a token? There are several reasons why to use a token system and not just a normal fiat currency like a dollar or euro. You have to imagine this what we call it, the Omix token. It's basically like really the fuel of our Shibom ecosystem. And it can be easily transferred all around the planet, also in very small amounts. And you don't have to have huge amounts of it to do something with it. And we can incentivize people by giving them these tokens. Or we could ask sponsors, for example, for clinical trials to incentivize people with tokens, which then... in the long term, what we want to build is a kind of a healthcare marketplace where people then also can use those tokens to get services or products on our marketplace. You have to imagine this healthcare marketplace is similar like to Amazon, just that people will not get books or T-shirts, but they can get that specifically healthcare services from all around the world. This could be access to doctors via telemedicine or genetic counselors, or this could be nutrients to stay healthy. So a lot of products as well. So a lot of different things there where you could spend your Omix token. But this is, of course, only one part. The other part is simply that you can, of course, use those tokens also to buy, for example, a genome sequencing kit for yourself or for a family member, or you can obtain completely new lab results. There's so many things that will come out in the next years, which are already on the market that we also want to put on our platform for studies on your microbiome. So there are all the bacteria that live inside of you and that change basically your health status, or you could get lifestyle, diet, and nutraceutical advice. So there's so many different things. But this is, again, this is just one part of it. The key is the tokens, they provide also a way of security, because we can really see what happens with the data on the platform. And they can directly be linked to this, what I mentioned before, these smart contracts. And this is very difficult to do with a normal dollar or euro, having that in the system.
Sure. Let me take a step or two back and ask some general questions about tokens. We're so new in this whole world of tokenization. And so at some point, there may well be, and I know there are already some attempts to do some type of token exchange network. So tokens that are earned in Shivom could be possibly exchanged with tokens in some other platform. Yes. Just generally, what are your thoughts? Do you think we're moving in that direction?
Oh, absolutely. The thing is that because those tokens are so easily, that can be so easily used, it just makes absolutely sense. We are already actually talking to several other companies, also startups from the blockchain and healthcare space, to basically build a larger healthcare ecosystem. That means that other companies, could be health insurances or pharma companies, doctors, hospitals, clinics, they could also use those tokens. They can either use their own token, or they can use what would be preferable to use our Shivom Omics tokens. But if they have their own, of course, there are ways to basically swap those tokens. Now, like people go to a bank and exchange dollars for euros. And this is, of course, then an automatic process. So this will definitely come. Token ecosystems, they are basically the future, and there's no question whatsoever that those systems will be built and used.
And I can see how the tokens that are earned in the healthcare platform could be used outside that platform. I could see tokens earned by somebody who's doing research, and gathering health records like you, those tokens being exchanged and being used by Uber. People can use it for transportation, for any goods or services, essentially.
Yes.
There's actually a good point.
Yeah. So what we are doing is what we are planning to do, and we are already talking to different stakeholders there. Let's imagine, like, we are having healthcare projects all around the world, also in areas of the world where people do not have proper access to modern medical facilities. Like we have one project soon starting in Nigeria. We had one diabetes project in India that's already ongoing. And what we want to do is basically still give people maybe tokens, and they could then use those tokens for also to reimburse, basically exchange them for other things that are not only healthcare related, because not everyone wants such a product or service. One example could be, which is also for third world countries, almost everyone has cell phones. You could say, look, you can participate in a study, you get a certain amount of tokens, and then you can exchange those tokens, for example, for a SIM card for your phone, or that you can have the phone connection for a couple of months that it's paid for. So there are a lot of different things that can be done that are really useful, and where you can really empower people, especially in those areas where people sometimes even do not have a bank account. So, and you still can give them something and help them to participate, to do something for their own health and to support research. So
sure.
The whole token system basically opens up a completely new world and gives economies, especially with this healthcare vertical, much more opportunities to do something completely new.
You know, you mentioned some of the pilots that Shivam is involved with, and I saw on your website, and maybe that's, I believe you mentioned Nigeria, that you're doing some pilot work around sickle cell anemia.
Yes.
And is that the gathering of samples to make available for research, or are you actually involved in the research? Or is it just acquisition?
Both. I mean, mm-hmm. Primarily via data hub. So that means we want to collect the data. For the sickle cell disease, we plan to collect data from hospitals in Nigeria and in the UK, primarily to see why the disease has really different outcomes in different people. So some die early, some have a lot of pain, while others do pretty good. And there must be also some genetic basis for this. And to understand this, of course, we have to collect genomic data. So we will go out, we collect again with our kits, we take buccal swabs, get those people sequenced, and then add this genomic sequence, the DNA sequence, to our database and make it available for the global research community. At the same time, we also have our own research going on. So we are building what we call an R&D unit, so research and development, where we develop, for example, deep learning algorithms that can basically crunch this data, this genomic data, and to see what is really going on in those patients. And of course, by doing this, we can hopefully find out if there are ways to treat those people or just to at least to keep them pain-free or healthier long-term.
One question I haven't asked you so far is, what is Shivam's timeline? Where are you at? Has the token been launched? What's the status? What's 2019 going to look like?
Yeah, so the token is already launched, but the actual platform, so we will have our first alpha release scheduled for basically in around a month from now, or the end of November. And from there, we will then collect, of course, the feedback from test users if the platform is good, and then we will steadily add features to the platform. I think we will have a fully functional platform with a lot of really nice, cool features, maybe in springtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, this is, I think, the intriguing and fascinating piece of it. This is an open platform. So the development will be always ongoing, and we invite other developers and other companies, other organizations. This could be governments, insurances, as I said, pharma companies, diagnostic companies, every healthcare service provider, basically to add their own functionalities to this platform, their own services, apps.
Yeah, this sure. Could,
for example, our very early collaborations, is, I can name one, is SingularityNet. This is another company from the blockchain space, and they provide basically AI algorithms that can be used to analyze the data on our platform. But this is a typical way how different companies can combine basically their knowledge and also their expertise in new technologies to build a much larger healthcare ecosystem on this platform.
You mentioned an alpha launch in about a month. When will I be able to log on to the website, create an account, and upload my DNA data file, which I have right now? When can I do that?
This will probably be already possible in parts with the alpha version. There you will not yet
okay.
be able to do a lot with it.
Sure. Sure.
For that, we have really to go on to the beta version. So I would say to really interact with the platform, to get health advice or reports back, I would say you have to wait for the springtime.
Oh, sure.
But we are very confident that we will do this.
Well, it sounds actually pretty soon that I'll be able to, and I will set up an account and upload my DNA data file there. We only have about another minute and a half, so let me ask you kind of a final question here as we wrap up is, what is the best way, or how can someone find out more about Shivom and ongoing press releases and information and keep track of your timeline? What's the best way for somebody to be able to do that?
Oh, the best way is certainly first to go to our website. Now, you mentioned already, shivom.io. And we have, of course, a presence in almost all the major social media channels. So you can find us on Telegram, on Facebook, on different channels. Everything is listed on the website. So I really encourage you to just check it out. And we love, of course, the feedback from the community that are interested in healthcare, also managing their own health, and even patients. So we actively try to get patients involved. So if you have something that could be interested for research, contact us, send us an email, send us a message on Telegram, and we can do something about it.
Great. Well, we're totally out of time. I want to thank to all our listeners for joining us on this episode of the Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest today, Dr. Axel Schumacher. You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors. Thanks so much, Dr. Schumacher.
Thank you.